Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Artist Spotlight, a monthly podcast focusing on some of the amazing creative talent behind Forbidden Panel. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Artist Spotlight. I am your host, AJ. And in case you haven't noticed, we have been doing a once-a-month new podcast where we get to focus on some of the creators and artists that are behind the scenes of Forbidden Panel in hopes of giving them a chance to shine and give you an opportunity to get to learn who they are and what they do. So, in this, our second episode, I have a special guest with me, and that is a good and very old friend of mine, in that he's older than I am, because I'm a young kid, Mr. Richard Duran. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing amazing. However, I don't know when I became older than you.
As soon as I said so. Just now. It just happened. You were there.
It happens.
Let's dive right into it. You and I, we've been friends since, what, the fifth grade?
Yeah, something like that.
So that makes it 20 years for me, like 30 years for you, because you're a lot older than I am, and you apparently repeated the fifth grade 10 times. And since then, you have delved into the art world. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, in the last, actually probably last three and a half years, I've really been focusing on portrait art. I started when we were kids. I used to do what, I don't know, I guess you call it like photocopy. Like I'd sit there and I'd look at a comic book and I'd draw it. And by the time we were in like junior high, I got pretty good at it. Like, but I could never do original art. You know, I would be able to look at a comic book and duplicate it. But other than that, I've never really, and I still am not comfortable with my original art. And I know a lot of tattoo artists, and just on a whim, I started wanting to draw again, and I just really kind of got into doing portraits, and just slowly but surely have been, you know, fine-tuning my portrait art and trying other things, you know, different mediums with it, too. I've recently did a couple marker pieces. I want to try, like, color pencils. I'm delving into that. And then I'm also trying to do original art and slowly starting to learn how to do sequential so I could start doing comic books. So,
One of the questions I'd forgotten to ask Justin, and that I'm going to ask you. So, surprise, no spoilers there. What kind of equipment do you use? What kind of markers are your favorites? What have you tried growing up? What's your favorite style, you know, to use with those markers and pens?
Typically, for the most part, I work in sketch pencil, which I use pretty much any sketch pencils I can get my hands on. I'm not real particular on it because it's all about the blending with sketch pencils. With the colored pencils, I've noticed when you're blending them, so far the Prismacolor seems to work best for me, and I am a huge fan of Copic markers. They are expensive as all get out, but I love them. They're amazing. Their color is rich. You can blend them pretty well. I haven't tried, like, so many people have, like, I know, used the Prisma, and there's another one called, I think it's called U-Touch or something like that, which is a cheaper version of the brush one, but I love the Copics. It works really well for me. It was the first thing I tried and I was real comfortable with. I've tried cheaper ones that just, they don't hold the saturation as well.
So the cheaper, you get what you pay for, basically.
Yeah, as far as the markers and the colored pencils so far, yeah, definitely. Like I said, sketch pencils, and I tell people all the time, you can buy sketch pencils from Walmart, because really it's about the saturation and pressure and blending more than it is the pencil themselves, so.
Well, why don't you tell us your process when it comes to, you know, your drawings and stuff?
Well, typically I do it pretty much like a tattoo artist does. I start off with a, like I'll get usually a black and white photocopy of a picture that I want to do, and I lightboard it, and I do a basic outline along with, I do dot areas, which show where I want shading, and then it's pretty much a lot by trial and error, just blending and shading in, trying to get the darkness to match up and the light tones and the, and trying to get the skin, like, to get it to blend so it looks smooth and not like a smooth transition and not just like a rough from one to another. Like you'd see like in a black and white picture, like it needs to be like, it needs to just flow. So I try to blend. And I've tried different things from blending pencils to even using paintbrushes. So. And then I usually, when I start with the eyes for some reason. I'm drawn to eyes, and that's usually what gets me to want to...
The opposite of Justin.
I guess. That usually if I find someone, like a lot of the females that I find, cosplay girls or artists or what's called like music artists and that I have drawn, like I'm drawn to their eyes stick out to me. They just, something about them, and I'll want to draw them. So like that's usually where I start off, and that gets like, I don't know, makes it feel more like a picture to me. So then it keeps me inspired to keep going and keep going. So it's, other than that, I mean, it's really a trial and error, and just blending and blending. And to me, a picture is never done. It's never, I just stop at some point. Like, I can always blend it in smoother blends. I really want to get to the point eventually where I do some of this, like some of these hyper portrait artists. I posted on Facebook, this guy who did, it was like a vodka bottle. It's just insane. Like, eventually I want to learn how to do that, but, you know, it's a slow process.
Now, you say about 3.5 years ago you started doing this. What made you pick up the pencil and start?
Like I said, I know a lot of really good tattoo artists, and buddies of mine were tattooing me, and just watching them, I kind of wanted to start tattooing. I wanted to learn how to tattoo. So, of course, in order to do that, you have to start, you know, you have to draw. So I started with the simple thing, like I used to draw when I was in high school, doing the, looking at comic books and copying it, which I can still do pretty decently if I take the time and do it. And then the portraits, just a buddy of mine's a really, really good portrait artist, and he would just constantly give me advice on stuff and just working with him. And even lately, like about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, I was throwing out there on Facebook that I wanted a challenging picture, and he said, try Christopher Walken. And I did one, and he, you know, it came out okay, and he's like, you know, he's really tough to capture. And then I did a new Christopher Walken recently, which he gave me a lot of compliments on and a lot of help with. You know, he gave me some more ideas on the blending and stuff like that, which it's still not 100% where I want it to be, but it's 100% better than I was a year and a half ago.
Well, the trick with drawing Christopher Walken is you got to take punctuation and throw it out the window.
Right, exactly. The trick with Christopher Walken is make the eyes as shallow and dead as humanly possible. It's, the eyes are a gateway to the soul, except for Christopher Walken's.
Right, because he has no soul.
Right.
You would know this if you saw Prophecy.
I have, multiple times. Love that movie. Just the first one, though. The other ones don't exist.
Right. Like Highlander.
Right.
Now, doing the portraits and whatnot, what's got to be your favorite subject to draw?
Well, my own personal muse for some reason seems to be Emily Lazar, who is September Morning from the group September Morning. I don't know, something about her style and her look caught me when I first started drawing, and I really, really love drawing her. I've drawn her I've drawn 6 portraits of her, and I'm actually going to start another one soon. And actually recently got a chance to meet her, and she was really awesome. I love their music and stuff.
Did she give you the restraining order?
Not yet, but soon. But like, I just, something about her look, because it's completely different than anything I've ever seen, and it's just really kind of fun to draw, because she wears this white leather with all these buckles, and it's just like her hair is kind of crazy, and her makeup's really like it's not goth, but it's kind of like this horror pop thing, and it's just
like a chaotic porcelain doll.
Yeah, basically that's the best way to describe it. And it's just, it's fun, it's different. Like, I like different, so that's why I've chosen like some different cosplay models and stuff like that, just because I like their take on the characters and stuff. And of course, you know, I love drawing wrestlers, so. But, I mean, I pretty much kind of draw whatever catches my eye. Like, I'll see something, I'm like, I have to draw this, and I just draw it, or at least I attempt to. There's some projects where I've scrapped, so.
Now, in that 3.5 years, you spent most of the time with us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we've been able to take you out to the shows, get your book printed and whatnot. What was it like the first time that you sold a print, and what also was it like when someone asked you to sign that print?
It was actually really, it's humbling. because, you know, growing up loving comic books and loving art and loving, you know, books and everything, you know, everything geek. I mean, I remember getting prints from Larry Elmore, who did the original books for the original covers for like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, and to be on the other side and to see someone, you know, look at your art and just like in awe and like to want to purchase it is just amazing. Like, you know, I couldn't imagine. Like, normally I would draw and give it to people. I've given so much art away, it's not even funny. And for somebody to actually want to pay for it and then want to sign me to sign it is just, it's really humbling. It's like, I don't know. It's really like, it's, you can't describe it. Like, it's like, because like when I used to wrestle, we used to do like pictures. Like, you'd take 8x10s and you'd sign them at shows and stuff like that. But they'd see you wrestle right there, so you know, they could relate to you, and I can understand that. But for someone to look at something you've drawn and like it to the point where they want to pay for it, it's really like really weird and extremely cool, like, and humbling. Like, it really like, I really appreciate anybody who likes my art enough to pay money for it.
Have you found it addicting yet?
It's completely addicting. I love it. I love being behind the booth. I found a love for people just sitting there watching me. Like, I'm a very private person. I don't like doing a lot of things in public, which is weird considering the jobs that I've had in my life. But I'm not really a like a performer, but
says the ex-professional wrestler
and current DJ, but
and stripper,
right? But that's different. Like, you're playing a character. Then, as myself, I'm kind of like in a shell, and I found this like what, even when we do like the 12-hour and the 24-hour, I would kind of at first kind of keep to myself, like in the corner. I'd walk and look at other guys' stuff, but I wouldn't really show my own stuff to people. And now I show it to everybody. I found an appreciation for people just sitting there watching me draw and just like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you know, people just asking, hey, can I look at that? And I'm, you know, showing them. It's like, it makes you feel good. It drives you. It drives you to know somebody likes it, you know.
Now, I think I was there when this happened, but well, tell me about the first time a little kid asked you to draw a sketch card right there on the spot. How did that make you feel, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, you were there the first time that happened. That was actually, I was actually very scary, because once again, I emphasize the fact I am not really good with original art. I learned how to draw turtles really good that day, though. I got to practice. I drew till my fingers. I must have drawn 200 turtles that day. It was a little intimidating, especially sitting next to two incredible artists. Who,
and that crappy writer guy.
Yeah, and that's why I sit next to the writer, so I can't compare to the other artists. It was a little intimidating, but, you know, to see them light up when I hand it to them, it's really cool. Plus, I earned a really good fan that day. This little girl who was literally there all day and fell in love with one of my prints. So it was cool. It was fun, and I plan on continuing to do it and practicing the original art, so I can get better at sketch cards and what are they, the sketchbook covers and stuff.
Who do you think is a harder person to draw for? The adult, you know, the fan that's grown up watching and reading this stuff, or the child that's coming up to you open-eyed and innocent?
Honestly, in my experience, they're both pretty easy to draw for, because they appreciate anything you do, but I'm that artist who hates his own art, so I'd be the most difficult person to draw for. I despise my own art. I am never happy with it. I've never had anybody come. Everybody's always been very appreciative of everything I've done, which is really.
Don't you find it like more intimidating when a child is sitting there watching you? You know, more, you know, on the spot.
It is a little bit more intimidating with children, because you don't want to let a kid down. An adult, yeah, screw them.
Right.
But like with the kids, you know, you don't want to be the reason they stop looking at comics or something like that. But also, I know what it's like to be that kid, and like I could think of some artists that if they would have drawn me a stick figure, I wouldn't have cared. You know, it's still awesome. So, I mean, It's intimidating, but it's a challenge that I love. Like, I really like to see the smile on the kid's face. Like, it's, I remember, like I said, I remember being a kid on the other side, so it's just, it's fun to return. You know, I guess it's karma. It's just like returning the all the goods that we've seen in all the years, you know.
And with that, we'll go ahead and take our first quick break so that Richard can collect himself and breathe a little bit, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the panel cast.
Hey everybody, welcome back. So yeah, this is Artist Spotlight, and this month's guest is Mr. Richard Duran. We just got through talking about some, you know, how he likes drawing, what has what he's been working on, and being behind the booth and those experiences. So in this section, we're going to get a little deeper. Now, Richard, why do you wear panties?
They make me feel pretty.
Okay, good answer, good answer. Silk, cotton, do you like crotchless?
What? I'm a silk man.
So you're smooth.
Yes.
All right. And that ends our interview.
That ends the interview because everybody just switched to a different story. This just got weird.
We just got different types of listeners. That's all. You brought up your wrestling background in the last segment. So how about we touch on that? Tell us about wrestling.
It was my childhood dream. Actually, oddly enough, and the funny thing is, I've always said that I don't really like to use the word blessed, but I'm one of the few people that I know has lived out every dream that he had. I wanted to have a comic book published, which, I mean, sketchbook counts, right?
Your name's on it.
You know, I wanted to be a published author, which happened when I was 16. I wanted to make a movie, which I co-wrote and filmed a movie, and I always wanted to be a professional wrestler, and when I was about 24, there was a school in Highgrove, ran by a man named Bill Anderson, who used to be partners with, Jesse Hernandez, at the School of Hard Knocks in San Bernardino. They split ways. And Bill opened a school in Highgrove, and I was like, why not? So I went to the school, and
that's when you became Raven?
You know, that's not the first time I've heard that. And I was a weekend warrior. I was never a guy who wanted to make a career because I already had kids. I had to be there for my kids. I mean, I've traveled. I've wrestled all over the country, all over the world, really, like a lot of places. Like I said, I mean, I was a curtain jerker. I was a glorified bump dummy. I was just really good at not getting hurt and for people being able to practice. I was never, because I never wanted to make a career, so I never really got that good. But it was fun, and I lived a dream, and I met some really awesome people, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Who are some of the more well-known names that you wrestled against?
Well, my favorite story is I wrestled in New Mexico in a it was a battle royal, and I was completely starstruck because Greg the Hammer Valentine, Tito Santana, and I personally went one-on-one with Iron Mike Sharp. That was a big deal for me. But I've been in companies where I was in UPW, or I was leaving UPW when John Cena and Samoa Joe came on. I've known through passing a lot of people, a lot of names. I don't really like to throw names out there, but like,
I mean, more of who you actually wrestled with in the ring.
Yeah, to me, like I said, Tito Santana, Iron Mike Sharp. We did one show with, I cannot remember what his name was in WCW. Man, that's going to bug me. One of my good friends actually used to wrestle as Blitzkrieg in WCW. I wrestled him pretty regularly. And he'd probably be the biggest name, but Iron Mike Sharp is the big one to me. I don't care if he was a jobber. He was the man when I was a kid. I would always remember that stupid arm brace. You know, plus, like, the wrestlers from the 80s, like, just seeing them being on the same shows where guys are, even, like, when Jake Roberts or Harley Race are just doing, like, signings, and they're there just interacting with them, talking to them. I talked to Paul Bearer a lot, Paul Mooney, who would give the best advice. He was an awesome, awesome guy. There was just so many guys, like, you know, the older guys. I would see most of them were there for signings, because a lot of them don't do in ring stuff anymore, or if they do, they're up in the card. And like I said, I was first match, because I'd be the guy who would haul the ring and do all the road stuff, because like I said, I was a weekend warrior. I wasn't one of those guys that wanted to ever be in the WWE or anything like that. I mean, I started in my mid 20s, and you know, it was just to do it, to say I did it.
So no regrets?
My body regrets it sometimes, because I came in at the height of hardcore wrestling, and I've been put through flaming tables. I've wrestled in barbed wire matches. I've been hit with baseball bats with barbed wire, thrown off of ladders onto concrete. So every now and then, I hurt really bad, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Alrighty then. Growing up, you had mentioned, you know, being a geek and all things geek. What were some of the more standout things about you? Was it more the Saturday morning cartoons, the comic books, video games, the toys? What was it that you really, really identified with?
Well, growing up in the 80s, it was all about Saturday morning cartoons and toys, which kind of went together, really. I mean, you know, you had the G.I. Joe cartoon, which was put out to sell toys, you know, same with He-Man and Thundercats and all that. And then there was also, you had the growing up loving Star Wars, like everybody who probably listens to this podcast does, the Star Wars toys, the Buck Rogers toys, like just stuff that you still, like, you see to this day, and you still have, like, it was so everything, like, the toys are probably my biggest memory, I would say, and the Saturday morning cartoons. But, you know, right around, I'd say 83, 84, I started getting into comics. And then I remember certain storylines pretty heavy, and then didn't really, really start getting into them till right around like high school age. So I'd say the Saturday morning cartoons and the toys more than anything as a kid.
Do you ever think about the fact that when we were growing up, we basically, everything that's really popular and mainstream nowadays, we grew up at the beginning of it and followed the stages, like video games and the height of comic book popularity, toys, the innovation of toys and whatnot.
Cable, the internet.
Cell phones.
Cars. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, no, I think about that all the time. And it's sometimes it's a little disheartening to think of
how we're responsible for Facebook.
Nah, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that is a little disheartening. But, you know, I mean, we had bulletin board systems back then. They would turn into, like, horrible. They were actually probably worse than Facebook. Those turned into actual fights, not just talking on the internet. I've beaten up many people off the bulletin board system, so. But, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see the evolution of video games. I love that. I don't like the fact that Saturday morning cartoons have disappeared, and that they, like, the whole, like, kids grow up with, I mean, their closest thing they have, I mean, even nowadays, it's so little, like, what, SpongeBob? But SpongeBob's been around for, what, 15 years, something like that? So there's nothing new, and that just grabs kids' attention, and it's just, you know, I mean, we also grew up with educational stuff, too. We grew up with Reading Rainbow, and, like, thank God that's coming back.
Great Space Coaster.
Right. Educational shows that were fun. And now anything that's educational and fun is for, like, little kids. It's kind of, I don't know, I think they kind of dropped the ball on that one, especially with all the technology they have nowadays. I mean, we talked about it the other day, watching, what was it, The Electric Company, waiting for the episodes with Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, but you learn something. You're watching it, you know, and it's still, I still remember things from The Electric Company. So, it's
pinball thing just keeps getting stuck in my head.
Certain things like that stick in your head, and I just don't think kids nowadays have it. Then again, my kids are grown, so maybe I just don't know.
I mean, even things like skateboarding. You know, when I first started skateboarding, my board was this tiny little stick with these two crappy wheels on it, and just watching the evolution of the skateboard and the popularity in it, how it's grown, and now the board shapes that have been around for the past 10, 15 years are mainstays.
You know? Yeah. Well, even that, I mean, there's also the fact that there's guys that are that became pros that we used to skate at their houses.
Right. Bastards.
So, I don't know, it's weird and cool, and I never want to be that guy, that back in my day guy, but that's pretty much what we've all become.
When I was your age, I had to walk out to the mailbox.
When I was your age, I used to have to walk to school. Like,
right. And the Santa Ana winds, they took me most of the way to school. I just hop on a trash can and go flying. Growing up in Rialto, I know both you and I had it rough. How hard was it to, you know, move forward artistically in a neighborhood and town such as we grew up in?
Well, I mean,
most of the art in Rialto is on a wall somewhere with a spray can.
I'm guilty of that myself. But it wasn't really difficult because I actually, as a kid, oddly enough, what I used to really, like, one thing that I used to do for a lot of my friends was customize G.I. Joes. I used to, take them apart, mix parts, and then repaint them, and, like, that was, like, my deal when I was younger, and, like, growing up knowing a bunch of gangbangers and drug dealers and you name it, punkers, and, it was, you know, my art, different types of art would actually keep me out of trouble. What little trouble I could keep out of.
I've seen the trouble you've been into. I've been next to you on a few of those things.
I was no angel, but yeah, you know, I mean, as tough as our neighborhood was, I was surprisingly, most of the time I got into fights, it wasn't because somebody was picking on me, it was because somebody was picking on somebody else, or because one of my other friends got into a mix, so you got to back them up. So, I was pretty lucky, and then, you know, I've had most of my friends that I've known since we were kids, so.
Lucked out in that way.
Yeah.
What's funny is Richard had all these notes, and I've asked no questions that he needed to refer to his notes for. That's probably throwing you off right now, isn't it?
Not really. I just didn't want to be stuck for anything. This stuff I know.
Well, then let's get to some stuff you may need notes for. Growing up, who were some of the more influential artists for you?
The weirdest thing, and I think I actually talked to you about this after I listened to Justin's interview, the weirdest thing for the most part growing up, when I was younger, I always wanted to be a writer, and I loved comic books for the stories, so I was really into the stories, so I didn't pay attention to a lot of the artists, except for, obviously, Jack Kirby, because, I mean, Kirby's the king, and I still love his art to this day, and of course Bob Kane, because I'm a huge Batman fan, but, like, I really didn't start following other artists until, I'd say, high school, and I'm a huge fan of Art Adams and Neil Adams, and and over a few years back, Stephen Hughes, who was the main artist for Chaos Comics, who actually passed away quite a few years ago, but I loved his style. Even though they were very shaky and like two-dimensional, it's just it was real old school horror, and his was one of my favorites. That really inspired me to want to draw, and stuff that Neil Adams does, his covers of Batman were amazing. And then Art Adams is, like, I'd say would be the artist that I followed the most.
So how was it meeting them?
Meeting Art Adams was amazing. I wanted to pee myself. I was really nervous, and he talked to me like he knew me forever. It's really cool.
Well, I mean, honestly, he probably has in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, I'm sure people like yourself have been approaching him that way, in that manner, throughout his whole career. So by now, he's, like, used to it and can identify with everybody in that aspect.
Yeah, I'm sure. And like I said, he's...
Not to take it away from you or anything.
Yeah.
Not to ruin that special moment for you.
It was a very cool experience. Trying to remember, I think it was... My first year with you guys at WonderCon, I met a famous painter, Olivia, who does pin-up art, and she does she'll do the pin-ups with Julie Strain, and like she is by far my favorite artist. I just love her work, and I sat there and talked to her for like a half an hour. And like she was like, "Hey, do you want to take a picture?" You know, she signed a book for me. Like I was just dumbfounded. Like, amazed.
She's like, "Shut up, buy my shit, move on."
Oddly enough, I had already bought the stuff, and she kept talking to me. So, that's pretty amazing. Like, and that's the coolest thing, is being able to see some really cool artists and writers. You know, I did meet Liefeld, and that was an experience, and we'll just leave it at that. So, but, I mean, you know, I think for the large part, besides Jack Kirby, who I have always just been awestricken by his art, it's artistic, it's not comic book art to me, like his is art. But I'd say Art Adams and Stephen Hughes are the ones that really inspire me to want to draw and want to learn how to draw comics. So, of course, you know, there you got your Claremont and your other people like that, and there's a lot of artists who I've liked their work but wasn't familiar with. Because I didn't pay attention to the artist thing. I mean, like, the whole artist thing didn't become really popular until we were, like, in high school. You know, when you had Claremont, McFarlane, all those guys start popping up. Who, I like their stuff, but a lot of it looks the same. So, that's where that goes.
And with that, we'll go ahead and take another quick break.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony White of the Panelcast, asking you to check out my bi-monthly column, Messages from the Ether, on the Forbidden Panel website. It's a column about my adventures at conventions, as well as my experiences playing new and old video games and experiencing new anime. That's Messages from the Ether, only on ForbiddenPanel.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Artist Spotlight. I'm sitting here once again with Mr. Richard Duran. He hasn't gone anywhere or ran away like most people would have by now.
It's the chains.
Well, you wear them so well. It's not my fault you blinged them out.
I like to be like Mr. T.
Right. So we talked about, you know, your art influences growing up. We talked about your wrestling and everything else. Now let's talk about your role in Forbidden Panel. What made you come on board with the company in the first place? Don't say me that I conned you in or bribed you or teased you with sex and candy.
So don't say the truth? Or
right.
Oh. It started, when I went to your first, Comic Expo? And I think it was the first time I'd seen you in, like, 20 years, I think it was. And,
what was that time at Fun Corner?
That was after.
That was before.
No, it was after.
It was before.
Was it?
Yeah, because I told you about the expo there.
I thought you told me about the beauty pageant there.
Whatever. See how old we are, we don't know.
Whatever it was. But, I bought, I think it was a sketchbook and the first, like the zero issue of ZKS. I met Justin that day too and talked to you. And then, oddly enough, what was it, like a year later, ended up working with you. And just got invited to a con with you and started slowly learning about the company. And started, you know, just helping out here and there where I could. And then everything just kind of grew. You know, I loved the art and the stories. And, you know, we're more like a family and more friends than it is a business relationship. So it just kind of came naturally.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
I did drink the Kool-Aid. I drank buckets of it.
So how does it feel for you? I mean, we already talked about being behind the booth as an artist, but I mean just being behind the booth, you know, as a feeling, as a profession, you know.
It's amazing. Like, it's a dream come true, really. And then to do it with friends and old and new, you know, just it's just cool. And it's not like it's a hobby, and it's a lifestyle, you know. And you know, hopefully one day we can do it for a living. But you know, it's amazing, just the whole experience, the things we see and experience together, and just, you know, when seeing people who enjoy the, it's not even just my art, but like seeing people that look at Justin's art and love his art, and like, you know, love the Aloe books and just like everything that we put out, like, because, you know, I have something to do with that too. It may not be a big part, but it's important enough. So it's really cool. Plus, you know, just helping run little things that we do, you know, it's an amazing feeling. It's something that's, it's not like I'm help, it's kind of like not, it doesn't feel, in the beginning I said it felt like babysitting your kid, and it's not really like that anymore. Now it's like all of our baby in a weird way.
So we finally had children together.
Right.
Thanks, Obama.
Without stealing them.
But, so on the so it's more than just business for you. It's something you're really learning to enjoy, seeing the creativity and whatnot coming out of everything.
Yeah, it's definitely a passion, and I love more than anything, even my side and me selling my own art and stuff like that. I love seeing the stuff that our artists come up with, the stories that you guys write. You know, just watching the evolution of someone like Daniel's art and the amazing stuff that Justin comes up with, and even, you know, Joey, who I've known since, what, high school or just after high school, his art is just jaw-dropping. And then Robert, I hate him. his art is so disgustingly good. It's amazing. So it's exciting to see all these people that are coming on board and that are just excited as excited as we are to be involved, and it's just it's a really cool feeling.
Now, what is your actual role in the company?
I am.
I'm asking because I really don't know either.
I am an assistant art director, which means usually I help with your negotiations with artists and stuff like that, to have another party there. I deal with some of the artists when Justin can't, making sure, like helping him remember deadlines or anything. Like when we have conventions and stuff coming up, hey, if you need prints, we got to get it to Justin, or, you know, you got to get this done and this done, like reminding him, because, you know, Justin chooses to live 1,000 miles away.
Chooses, mind you. It's not like he's walking distance to his job or anything, but he chooses to stay away from us, that bastard.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
He's listening right now going, what?
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, so I just kind of help out and assist you with that, and then help out where Justin can't, and then, you know, make sure the communication's there, and then, you know, every now and then I chip in a dollar or two for printing and stuff like that.
Chief Financial Officer right here.
Yeah, you know, I make sure I help with, me and you help to make sure that everything, me, you, and Justin help make sure everything gets running as best as we can.
Now, at what point did you see this going from just my dream to our dream?
I'd say by the second WonderCon, and just watching just the feeling behind it, and then really experiencing the beauty pageant, and just being involved and seeing how excited everybody was, and like just the fact that you allow us to be involved, and it's not like this is what I do, you guys are helping me. It's like this is what we do, and it's just kind of an experience of, that you get in being there. So it's like you grow as a part of the family just by helping, as opposed to being recruited in. So it's it just kind of slowly evolved to that.
So instead of being suckered in, you now help me sucker people in.
Right. Yes.
Awesome. And give me a little ego boost. My writing isn't all that bad, right?
No, your writing is great. I love it. It's awesome. If I didn't have a belief, the art would be nothing without a story, and the story would be nothing without art. So it's all unison. And you and Justin work amazing together, and what I've seen of what you and Joey have coming up is, you know, I'm excited about that. And you know, you've told me little tidbits of stuff that you have going on in that little pea brain of yours. So, you know, I get excited. You know, I like to see story. I'm like I said, I'm a reader at heart. I'm a writer at heart. So hearing stories, just I love hearing it. I love stories. So
we're around a comic book campfire.
Yeah. It's amazing, especially like when we do our like 12-hour and 24-hour days, of just how we feed off of each other. Even if like maybe we can't all be there, you know, a long period of time or whatever. You know, sometimes I'll pop in if it's a day I have to work or something like that. But it's amazing just to feed off each other and see what other people are working on.
Yeah, that is one environment that I have to say that I really love being in. Especially now that I've started inking and whatnot. And I've been able to experience it this last time because there was a picture I couldn't finish and I had to have Justin come over and finish it for me so that I could ink over it, because I'm no artist. But I'm loving the inking side of the world, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really good. And like that's kind of similar to like what I say is we'll go around and show each other or go to each other's tables and look at what we're doing. It's not even a criticism, but share thoughts on, hey, maybe you might want to try this or that, or a lot of it is, hey, what are you using here? Like, we find out about different supplies. I found out about some stuff from Daniel. And
how much stuff have you found out from these people that you've gone ahead and bought yourself?
Quite a bit, actually.
You know, nice little steel suitcase you have.
I have a nice little aluminum aluminum case, thanks to Robert, which is amazing, and I love it. And, you know, Daniel told me about some, these ink pencils that he has that you can do, like, they're kind of like watercolor, but it's like an ink wash, and, you know, some ink wash stuff that Justin was doing, like different medias I want to try and just, or mediums I want to try and just, you know, seeing what other guys are doing. And, like I said, since I want to start doing sequential art, just looking at where they start to where they finish it helps me too, because I learn more by watching than I do, like, I'm not really, a video lesson or reading lessons out of books. Like I kind of learn by proxy, and you know, I learn by watching stuff. I can learn by reading, but when it's art, you want to see the style better. So it's better for me to watch somebody more than like, instructional videos feel retarded to me. It's probably a bad word to use, but they feel dummied down.
I'm gonna leave that alone and not attack it like I normally would. But yeah, I understand what you mean, especially with the 12-hour days. I hate that over-the-shoulder feeling, you know, where people are looking at you over the shoulder, you feel on the spot and stuff. Whereas the 12-hour days, I mean, even this last one, you and Lynn were watching me do the inking and stuff, and I had no problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's I enjoy it, so I'm glad to hear that somebody else is enjoying it as well.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great. I love doing it, and that's why I'm glad usually they're when I am off, when I can get that random day off, and it's like I said, it's a great learning experience, and it's very inspiring. Like seeing the stuff, it's a challenge to me. I guess I feel challenged. Like when I see good art, that's why I joke about that. I hate Justin and Joey and them, because their art drives me to do better, and like I want to be that good. Like they do something I can't. Like they do that original art, that sequential art, which I can't do. I will be able to at some point. I'm not there yet. And like to see it, but then you see someone like Daniel's art evolve. It's amazing. Like his stuff has always been good, but if you look from his first book to his second book to stuff he's doing now, you can see the evolution of it. And I feel like a lot of my stuff, the portraits are the same. So it's cool. And then, like, we all kind of learn and improve together.
It's nice watching all of you guys grow leaps and bounds. And you're becoming more comfortable with your artwork. Same with Daniel and everybody else that's there. So it's a real cool environment to be in.
We all strive to one day be able to sell as much as Justin.
So that means everybody should come to our 12, 24-hour days and participate.
Absolutely. I mean, no matter what you do, really, writing, drawing, building stuff, I don't care.
Sitting there for 15 minutes on your fancy tablet and then leaving.
Right. I don't care if you're making Lego houses. It's a fun environment that it just breeds creativity, and I think it's really, really awesome.
Now, you had mentioned the Zombie Beauty Pageant. You, at one point, were a cosplayer with the unit and got to participate in the Zombie Beauty Pageant. How was that experience for you?
Oh, it was fun. It was extremely fun. Hot. But actually, one of the coolest things was before the...
Give a little background as to what you did at the show.
Would escort the girls to the stage and then back around, and then we had a little skit at the beginning. The first one I did was the second beauty pageant, which we had a little skit where one of our zombies gets loose and bites one of our guards, and the guard turns into, slowly throughout the show, turns into a zombie and participates in the beauty pageant. So we were part of a little skit at the beginning of that, along with escorting the girls, and it's kind of trying to keep them in line as far as calling them to the stage and escorting them to the stage and escorting them off. And it was extremely hot. And probably the funnest part, it wasn't even at the beauty pageant itself, but it was me and you trying to design the best we could, the uniforms, for 2 months leading up to the beauty pageant, and kind of trial and erroring stuff around until we came up with something that we liked, and then it eventually evolved into something else. But it was just fun being involved in doing it, and then it was a little nerve-wracking because it was really hot and having the goggles on and stuff. I'm used to being in front of crowds. I'm used to talking in front of crowds. I'm not nervous with that. That was fine. That was no big deal. The second year was even a bigger crowd, and we actually got on the stage and got introduced and stuff, and MTV was filming it and did a horrible job of showing how we were. It made us look way smaller than we were, but...
Thanks, MTV.
I digress on that one. But it was a great time, actually. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, it's sad that I can't really be involved in the cosplay, but I guess it's a good thing that just shows that my art's evolved to the point where I needed doing other things.
Well, you did what you could until you got to a point where you needed to evolve further.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I loved being involved and doing that and helping out. And, you know, if in a crunch, if I had to do it again, or even at a beauty pageant, whatever, I would do it. I mean, it's fun. It's a blast. And, like, it's really cool. For someone to want to take, I had a little girl, I believe it was the second year, it's actually on my Facebook, and it's on the cosplay unit's Facebook, a little girl that had to have a picture with me, and it was pretty awesome, and I think your mother-in-law took a picture with me. and it's pretty funny that looking through the pictures, it's hard to tell which one's me and which one's
Adam.
Which one's Adam, but, you know, it was really fun, and but like I said, I'm needed elsewhere, and you know, I guess that was a fun little time.
So what's next for you?
Like I said, I'm working on sequential art. I'm practicing a lot of stuff. Hopefully, I'm working on some character designs and trying to get that to where I can draw them consistently. I have a project that I'm drawing the designs for. Something that Jason Graham came up with, and hopefully I will be comfortable enough where I can show it to him, and then we can evolve it, and then I'll start working on the sequential part. But I'm working on the character designs right now, and then of course I got a new sketchbook coming out soon, more another pop culture, mostly like some 80s wrestling and some movie stuff, and
If you see some really bad pictures in there, it's because I inked them.
You're going to have fun inking those. But, you know, just working on the art and trying to evolve and keeping FP afloat and trying to find fun stuff for us to do.
Now, one thing we didn't actually touch base on that I wanted to was...
I want you to touch my base.
How low can you go? Crooked Smile Art. Tell us about that.
Crooked Smile Art is my... It's my company. It's my... it's actually... I wouldn't even say it's a company because I've always done everything under Forbidden Panel. But it's my... I guess it's my working name. It's my title. It's what I put my sketchbooks under. It's what all my social media is under.
Side project, subsidiary...
I don't really have many side projects going on. I do commissions, but I want to eventually get other artists involved, but like not art, not so much like comic book artists and stuff, because I wouldn't want to take away from Forbidden Panel, but I have some friends that do like jewelry and sculpting and like different things like that, and I'd like to like do something with them so that they can also benefit from our company too, and we can benefit from them, so we can have a like symbiotic relationship and maybe see reach other people that we wouldn't normally, you know. So I just like just different art and try to get people involved, and I really like encouraging people to just to have fun and do something artistic, like create something, anything, even if it's just like, because that's the best therapy in the world. I have a psychology degree, I will tell you.
Now, before we wrap up, why don't you go ahead and let us know where we can find you on the web?
I am at Crooked Smile Art. It's Crooked with a K, _smile_art on Instagram. Crooked Smile Art, all one word, on Facebook. Richard Duran on Facebook also is my personal Facebook. My Twitter is... @gangrene, that's GANEGRENE, and you know, hopefully I'll have some stuff up on the website. I'm really bad at writing things in deadlines. I work too much.
You can enforce the deadlines, but you can't make the deadlines.
Right, yes. I'm do as I say, not as I do.
Right. You're such a cop.
Cock?
Cop.
Oh.
Cock too, but cop. All right, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
I know you really
didn't have a choice, but, you know.
There's always a choice.
Sometimes. So that wraps up this month's edition of Crooked Smile Art. Crooked Smile Art, really? Of Artist Spotlight. See? Now I drank your Kool-Aid.
It's good Kool-Aid.
A little too sweet. I can't have caffeine.
It's great. You can eat it with Cheetos.
If it's Purplesaurus Rex, I'm down.
Nice. Grape Kool-Aid and cheese. That comes from G.I. Joe. Dreadnoughts.
Anyway, thank you for tuning in to this month's Artist Spotlight. You'll see some of Richard's stuff up on our store eventually. And head on over to the website. Check us out. In the meantime, please add him on Instagram and Facebook. He's got a lot of great artwork up there. The hashtag that we use, Draw Till It Bleeds, is actually a brainchild of his. So you can find him under that hashtag as well. This is AJ, and I will see you guys next month.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.